Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Paul preaches your word, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Listen to God's word to the church. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the seas. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered them, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We give thanks for the reading and hearing of God's holy word.
So I imagine the disciples in that boat were probably many things. A bit of skeptic in each one of them, a lot of faith in each one of them, maybe a little bit of doubt, joy, probably were many things. And I would imagine that all of us sitting in this place could imagine ourselves in a boat together with a little bit of questioning, a little bit of doubt, maybe some joy, maybe a lot of faith, maybe some wonderings, maybe even some moments in our lives, wide moments when we're saying, "Lord, save me." It's been an interesting few days reflecting on this text with the reports of Hurricane Ike all over the television and the radio. It's caused me to think about this text from different perspectives, in addition to the way that we usually hear them taught. That is primarily through the eyes of Peter. Most of you know our fall sermon series is called Courage, and we are looking at many different stories in the Bible that help us to get a handle on what it means to walk by faith and to trust in the hope and promises of the Lord in all seasons of our lives. Our theme verse for this Courage series is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and the Lord will make your path straight." And so today we find ourselves with Jesus and his disciple Peter, who is being called out to walk toward Jesus on a stormy sea. And the scripture says, when evening came, the disciples were in a boat, being battered, tossed to and fro in the waves. Far from any sort of land, the wind blowing against them. I think this is a very tiring picture. One that I bet every one of us can relate to in some season of our life. An experience where we feel like we're going through the motions, looking as if everything is okay on the outside. But perhaps on the inside we're lacking life. We're hollow. And I thought of the analogy this week of, it's kind of like walking in a good pair of shoes, where for all appearances' sake, the shoes look nice, they serve an appropriate function, they're shined, they're hip, whatever they may be, but it's like walking in that good pair of shoes, but without a soul underneath, without a foundation, and so our feet are blistered and wearing thin, but not obvious to everyone else. It seems to me that the disciples, most of whom were fishermen, would have fared better in this storm than they did. They had firsthand knowledge of the sea. They knew that sea could bring life. They knew that it could bring death. They had enough experience with the sea to be fearful, to know what a storm could bring, and maybe it was because of this experience that they were fearful. Jesus had sent the disciples to cross the sea, and again, I think that this is maybe somewhat analogous to seasons of our life, that Jesus sent the disciples across the sea to experience what they thought was going to be an easy journey. Perhaps quick and a short crossing, but it had become a seemingly endless night of uncertainty. And then Jesus makes a surprise appearance really early in the morning. A very bleak time, especially in this circumstance of the storm, and the light of dawn seems so far away. At this point, the disciples fail to recognize Jesus, and I'm sure they are tired, fearful, frightened. And so they cry out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus reassures them, and he says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." It isn't hard to realize why the disciples at first are afraid. Here comes Jesus walking on the water towards them. And apparently, or at least it seems like, Jesus seems unconcerned about the storm that has filled the disciples with fear. And I think it's interesting that even as the storm is swirling and the winds are overwhelming, that chaos continues even when Jesus comes close to them. And then it seems a bit odd in the midst of all of this that Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water." And so Jesus does, and when he does, Peter goes. And when Peter steps onto the water, the experience probably isn't what he was expecting. The wind is still blowing, the waves are still rolling, so Peter panics and he starts to sink. At this point, Jesus pulls Peter out of the water and they both get back into the boat. And only then does the storm cease. And so the point that we probably usually draw from this text and that we hear, and is maybe quite obvious, is that if we want to be a disciple of Jesus, that we probably shouldn't expect to live a safety-first, risk-free life. For we are followers of a Christ who, without reservation, he strides into the storms of our lives. And this God, our God, is a God of movement, of change, of motion. Remember that it's this God that created the Spirit blowing over the face of the chaotic waters from the very beginnings of Genesis. Movement and change and motion have always been, will always be, a significant part of the story between God and humanity, between God and all of us. Perhaps the reason Peter lost his nerve and fell into the water was because of fear of the unknown, fear of the churning water and the vicious wind. Peter, well, this we do know about Peter also, that he thirsted, he desired, he wanted so badly to be obedient, even in the midst of the storm. As his disciple, Jesus literally invited Peter to step into the waves and the wind and into the abyss, something that doesn't make sense, in our worldly wisdom, into the unknown with his eyes and his heart of hope and his dreams, his fears, his prayers, his doubts, his beliefs, his unbelief. To step into that place of uncertainty with the certainty that if he fixed his eyes upon Jesus, his heart and his soul upon Jesus, that he would find him, or that Jesus would find Peter in that storm. And so the question is before us, where are you in this story? Are you walking? Are you sinking? Peter could have stayed in the boat. He could have stayed where it felt safe. But is that what becoming followers of Jesus is all about? Many of you are familiar with, well, maybe I should ask how many of you are familiar with the very popular Facebook website called Facebook? Anyone? It's this online social networking place where people communicate with one another. And on Facebook, you invite people to be your Facebook friends, or you entertain other people's invitation to be their Facebook friends. And once you're friends, you have access to communicate with them in different ways. And one of my newest Facebook friends lists on her profile, the profile tells kind of about you, she lists on her profile that God, it says religion, it's asking you what religion you are, and that says God is a verb. So many people try to be postmodern in their terms of God and theology and explanations of life, but this one really caught me as a true expression of who God is. That the God that we know in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is always in motion and active in our midst. My guess is that most of us, including myself, are like those other disciples who were with Peter that night. And in most seasons of our lives, we're content, or maybe we just need to hold on to the safety of that boat. But wouldn't it be sad if at the end of our lives we realized that we spent the majority of our time holding on to what we perceived as safe? The safety of the boat for overextended periods of time, again, is wisdom of this world. But God's wisdom is such that to get to the light and the fullness, the abundant life that Jesus wants for us, sometimes means that we must journey through the storms, the long stretches of night. Over and over again, the biblical message is clear. Fear not. Fear not. And when we take notice, when we are ready to look back and see more clearly where God has been in a certain situation, God's provisions, I believe, are usually abundant. And I know that can be a really hard message to hear, maybe for some of you that are in a really hard storm, terrible storm, but I believe that really when we look back, we can see that God was present, that God is present. We can see this presence of Christ in the lives of each other. Have you ever unexpectedly received a visit in the hospital in a time of need? Have you ever unexpectedly received a phone call or a tangible reminder that someone is praying for you, maybe a prayer shawl in a time of need when you didn't expect it? An email, a knock on your door, someone who made a meal for you, a personal note from someone in a time of need when you least expected it. This is a visible witness. If we were to raise our hands, it would be a visible witness for Christ's presence among us in the storms of our lives. Fear not, says Jesus. It is I. There is one thing in this passage that has bothered me for this entire week, though, as I thought about the disciples who are sitting in the boat. It seems that we usually equate getting out of the boat as good and staying in the boat as bad. But what if we're not ready to get out of the boat? What if we don't want to get out of the boat? What if we are numbed by the circumstances of life in such a way that we cannot even muster up a single mustard seed of faith to spill out of the boat? I think we miss the point, or maybe more so the person, if we focus on getting out of the boat as good and staying in the boat as bad. When we can still the noise and the distractions of life and sit honestly and authentically with our fears, with our doubts, to follow this Jesus, it's in those times that I believe that we can hear, or maybe even more succinctly, that we can feel Jesus saying to us, "Fear not. It is I." And take note that when Peter started sinking, and when the other disciples didn't get out of the boat, Jesus didn't just walk away and say, "Sorry." He got back in the boat with them. When we have our fears, our doubts, we're not alone. In fact, we're never alone. We aren't powerless in the midst of storms. By the grace of God, we can wake up and we can breathe again each and every day. For the scriptures tell us that God's mercies, God's provisions are new every morning. He's calling us to come to him, to trust in him, to let his power and his love sustain us, even maybe especially when there's nothing but uncertainty around us. God will take care of us. Friends, the scripture ends with the winds ceasing and the disciples worshiping Jesus. And that is God's promise to us, that the winds, the storms of life will cease, whether it's in this life or the life to come. May we rest in God's grace, and may we find the faith to discover and to believe and profess with these disciples and the saints of all the ages that truly Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let us pray together. God, you speak to us, you call to us, you long for us to hear your voice in every season of life. So help us to hear that voice. Help us to know that your promises through your Son Jesus are incarnate realities that you desire for us to move towards you, but in every season, you are always moving toward us and with us and among us. We love you. Teach us how to know and love you more. And thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen.